Welcome everybody, councillors, staff, members of the public, to the council meeting of the 27th of July. I declare the meeting open at just after 6 p.m. I'll read the council prayer. I'll ask you to stay seated. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I'll also acknowledge the Wangal people who are the traditional custodians of this land and would pay my respect to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. I also note that our meetings of council are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of minutes and promoting public transparency. These recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009. And are made available for the public for review via the council website. I note there is an apology from Councillor Del Duca, who's asked for a leave of absence. I believe Councillor Dixit should be attending. He hasn't indicated. Is that right, Tomasa?
I have not heard from Councillor Dixit, so I'm expecting him to join the meeting.
Okay, we might just move an apology and leave of absence for the both of them. It's been moved by Councillor Furneaux Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors.
Yes, I have one item. I've already sent it in to Tanya, but item 50/21. Which is the proposed amendment number 5 to the DCP for Livingston Street and Sim Avenue. And I declare a significant conflict of interest, a pecuniary interest, because I'm a property owner in that street. It's my, I'm a owner occupier. So yep. I won't be participating in that.
Okay. Can I just, while that declarations are being recorded, ask the general manager, what about for our homes or property interests we might have with the DCP in general? Is this different to the LEP?
I might have to declare this pecuniary interest as well, because I work in the DCP area and own properties in the DCP area. So I don't know, I'm not sure where it is.
I think significant,
but definitely have interest in there.
Well, the DCP carries the whole, covers the whole LGA. We've split one which was specific, which relates to Livingston Street, to allow Councillor Furneaux Cook to remain for the broader one. From my understanding, and I might get either Tanya or Michelle to they can provide comment, from my understanding, is if it covers the whole area and it's not specific, you can declare an interest but remain. Is that right, Tomasa?
Yeah, I'll ask Tanya to provide additional information, but my view would be that in that I think the DCP and particularly the provisions that we're looking at modifying, I think are generic enough and apply predominantly to businesses as well. And so I would be comfortable in probably accepting that. Having said that, as we said at the briefing, I would still obviously disclose anything you feel that it must be disclosed. We had the discussion with Councillor Dixit in relation to a business is an owner of that might be affected, and whether that the level of significance is enough to sort of warrants a movement out of the meeting, that is your choice. Tanya, would you like to add anything?
Yes, thank you, Tomas. So it's up to the individual councillors to make a determination in all cases. However, what I will point out is that if this had been a forum other than the council meeting, I would have expected those whose principal place of residence is within the Burwood LGA would be submitting a special conflict of interest form in accordance with the Burwood Council Code of Conduct. However, the Code of Meeting Practice, which governs the conduct of the meeting of council, provides that a verbal declaration is acceptable because that information will then be captured in the minute. So any of the councillors who has a principal place of residence, I would be suggesting should be acknowledging that, and then that can be recorded in the minutes.
Okay, so I might start. I'm going to declare a pecuniary interest less than significant because I think it's generic. It doesn't specifically apply to any of my interests from what I understand from the report and the briefing I was given, that I have a principal place of residence in the LGA as well as a number of investment properties. So I believe...
Making the same declaration. I work in area, and I live in area, so I own properties in the area as well. Similar to what the mayor just said, declared.
And Councillor Manor?
Yes, my pecuniary interest less than significant. My home residence.
So that's for item 50/21. Because 5121 is more specific to Livingston Street, which Councillor Fernow Cook has declared an interest. Any other interests? Okay, so that being dealt with, any declarations of political donations that we are aware of, even from those in the public? So I believe we have a member of the public. Okay, no. Open forum. So I'm going to have the member of the public. I can't see your name, sir. Michelle, do you know?
Sorry, it's Will.
Will. Okay, Will. And you're speaking in regards to item Ethel Street.
Yeah.
Is item, I'll find it.
It's item 51/21.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, 51/21. So sorry, the pecuniary interest, just to go back, Tanya, for Councillor Fernow Cook was 50/21. Is that right, Councillor Fernow Cook? And for myself, Councillor Manor and Councillor Chan is 49/21. Okay, Will. Will, you have 3 minutes to speak. Just before I get you to speak, I might just have a mover for the minutes. Be moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Okay, so Will, you've got 3 minutes to speak and please only address the item. So personality is not to be addressed and I'll let you know when you need to start winding up. And no questions to be asked at this forum. Welcome, Will.
Okay, thank you, councillors. I only hope to speak on the behalf of the owners of 17 Ethel Street regarding item 51/21. I have had the opportunity to address you at the last council meeting about 7 months ago regarding the heritage listing proposal of this property. It was then that I raised a concern of how, from the perspective of the owners, we felt a bit disadvantaged that the property was only raised for its heritage concern days after we had just recently purchased. As that meeting reached its conclusion, I did appreciate your kind words of understanding and feel for our point of view. I also understood the council's reasoning for bringing forth this process. Since we have changed our view to agree with the council's decision on listing out new home as a heritage item and have been engaging with a heritage consultant to best maintain and respect all heritage aspects of the house, in our approach to turning this into our forever family home in this beautiful suburb. However, in the current heritage proposal, we feel that there are some non-original items being included into the listing, such as some fireplace surrounds in the home that were once beautiful marble, but have been replaced by previous owner with either marble paint timber surrounds, or timber mantelpieces that are not reflective of the style of the house, as noted by the council's heritage advisor. There are fireplace tiling in the kitchen that were put in place by recent owners that are non-original, and a recent constructed gazebo on the side of the property. All of the mentioned above has been confirmed and agreed upon by our heritage consultant and the council's heritage advisor as non-original, and has been communicated from our consultant to the council and council's heritage advisor. I have brought this item up with you in hope of being able to receive assurance on the removal of these non-original items from the current proposal, as with what I understood from the council's current report was to still include these items while acknowledging that they are all non-original. We fully support the council decision on listing our property as a heritage item, including any original aspects and features. We simply request the council again to consider from our perspective on the matter and ensure that any non-original items are not included. We will work closely with our heritage advisor and the council's advice to ensure that any changes we make to the property in our endeavor to make this our family home only enhance the property heritage value and protect all original features. I thank you all again for the opportunity to speak. That is all.
Thank you, Will. Okay, councillors, we might move on and we'll address some of those items that Will has raised when the item comes up by questions to Mr. Porter. So the first item on the agenda is the three Merrill minutes. So, Tanya, I'm going to get you to forward me the last Merrill minute you had, please, because I couldn't find it to print. So the first Merrill minute is 18/21. Detective Superintendent Paul Devaney is awarded the Australian Police Medal in the Queen's Birthday 2021 Honours List. Many of you would have met Detective Superintendent Paul Devaney, who is one of 11 police officers. And I wanted to congratulate Paul via this Merrill Minute and actually send him a letter and put it on the council record of his win, and to put the minute forward. So is there any questions? I think you've all had the minute and would have had time to read the minute. I'll put the minute then. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Our next item is the Merrill Minute. I can't see the screen, Tanya, sorry. You're not sharing the screen, so I can't see the minutes, that's all. The next minute is with regards to, which is 17/21, which is regards to Father James, which was the first minute. Again, Father James, Reverend Father James, awarded the Order of Australia Medal on the Queen's Birthday 2021 Honours List. Many of you have also met Reverend James, or Father James as he is known, with many of the work that he does at St Paul's Anglican Church. And again, we wanted to congratulate Father or Reverend Collins for his dedicated and model service to our local community and to the people of Australia. Without his tireless support, we wouldn't be the community we are today. So any questions regarding the minute?
No, I through you, Mr. Mayor, just don't have a question, but I think that's just a fantastic recognition for Father James. He just works tirelessly for the community.
Hear, hear. Any other questions? I'll put the minute. All those in favour?
All good.
Those against, I declare the meeting. I declare the minute carried. I just note also that Councillor Dixit has joined the meeting for the record. And there was a next Merrill minute. Which I still can't see, Tanya. Okay, which is item 21/21, which is a recognition of the service of the chair of the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee. I have been advised that Ms. Sandra Mulder will be stepping aside from her role with the Board Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee at the end of August, having been a member of the ARIC for 8 of the past 10 years. So many of you would have had the minute with you and would have read the minute. So can I ask Tanya that you just sort of move up to the actual recommendation, please? So is there any questions?
No, again, through Mr. Mayor, just as I've been on the committee from the beginning, and Sandra has to stand aside as per the constitution of the ARIC that for renewal purposes, but she's certainly given great insights as, and her skills as an independent to the ARIC, and we thanked her at the last meeting, but I think it's fantastic that you've got it as a mayoral minute to thank her officially.
Thank you, councillors. Any other questions? There being no further questions, I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Those against? I declare the minute carried. And the last minute, I believe, if you just bear with me, because I've found it now, is with relations to, many of you would be aware of the postponement, which is Mayoral Minute 22/21, which is the postponement of the local government elections and the new arrangements for extended council term. The advice we have received via the Government Gazette is that they've been postponed to the 4th of December, and I believe the caretaker period is the 5th of November from memory. So in saying that, there's a recommendation there that one, I acknowledge, do you all have the minute in front of you? So any questions regarding the recommendation? I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Those against, I declare it carried unanimously. Councillor Dixon, I'm just going to put you on mute just so we don't get any background noise. And then when, if you stick your hand up and then you can unmute it if you've got a question I can refer to you. It just makes it a bit easier to control. Now, the first item is 49/21, which is the proposed amendment number 5 of the Build Development Control Plan 2013. Any questions?
Look, I've just got 3 questions through Mr. Mayor. And I brought these up in at our workshop about the communications infrastructure that the towers and stuff that are stuck on top of, high-rise towers that kind of take away from any design excellence. When will that and the landscaping issues that I brought up, when will those be addressed? If this is an amendment to the DCP, is there another amendment to the DCP later on? So that's the first question.
So through the GM, I'll ask Mr. Porter to answer the question, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think in terms of the communications towers, that is quite a complicated issue because communications facilities of that nature are dealt with under separate legislation. So we do need to do a little bit more in-depth investigation about what appropriate controls we can apply through the DCP. So certainly we've taken note of those comments and we'll be undertaking investigations of that through the comprehensive review of the DCP, which will align with the comprehensive review of the LEP. And likewise with the landscaping provisions, I think there are a range of upgrades we need to make to the current controls, particularly where we are seeing landscaping introduced into high-rise or residential apartment buildings to ensure that it's properly designed, properly integrated in the building and ultimately a viable part of the building as well. So we'll be coming back to councillors with an upgraded suite of landscaping provisions, again, as part of our comprehensive review of the DCP.
And I believe that's council elections, is that correct?
It would fall into the early part of 2022, January, February, post-elections.
Councillor Fenner-Cook, you had another
question. Just two more. Just on page 60 of our papers, this is the first one. There's a change from any development with a height over 10 metres is genuinely required to have a minimum site area of 500 square metres. That's different from the one that was 9 with a height over 9 metres. So the first question on that, why the difference of the meterage, and what does generally mean? You know, how does generally be, is that like we'd really like it or fingers crossed? That's the first one. And the second one is on the next page, which is page 61. And I know Dylan talked about it at the workshop.
Councillor, I might just get Dylan to answer that one first and then we'll get your other question just so.
Order. Thank you, and through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, the relationship and the provision there in relation to building height and site area, it was really just making consistent that provision across the entire DCP area. It was something that just existed in several zones. It felt appropriate that it should be carried across the entire DCP area. I guess the term generally is really just reflecting that we do have a performance-based planning system and applicants are able to seek variations from the planning standards that we do see state. And, you know, a scenario might be if someone came on with 495 square metres and they provided appropriate justification to support that increased height, officers will be able to determine that particular application on its merits rather than just applying strictly a stated control.
And third question, Councillor.
Yeah, oh, sorry, just to clarify. So why did we change from 9 metres to 1 metre?
9 metres to 10, you mean?
So 9 metres to 10 metres?
That was just making consistent an existing control that was already in place for the Burwood Town Centre and just making that consistent across the entire DCP area.
And the last one is just really a question about, I know we're trying to get ceiling heights a bit better, but in point 2 or page 61, it says in developments where 50% or more units on a level do not receive a minimum of 2 hours of direct sunlight. I thought that you couldn't have 50% not getting any sunlight. I mean, as part of the set.
Look, again, that is the minimum standard, but there are certainly circumstances where it does occur. And the compensation for that is to require those units to have that increased floor to ceiling height.
My question on that is I would actually like to see the minimum floor to ceiling heights pretty much based on all the levels, if possible. So I just think it delivers, and I think I've spoken about this previously. Is that something, Mr. Porter, that would be addressed in the upcoming comprehensive LEP and DCP?
Yeah, so that would be increasing floor to ceiling heights to say 3 metres through the entire development. I think the difficulty we would face with that would applicants would see that as just an overbearing or significant cost impost on their projects and a development cost. So whilst there's justification to do it where there's a reduced solar access standard to require a developer to do it across an entire development, I think we would see significant representation saying that would be making developments unviable. Having said that, if an applicant was to come forward with a 3 metre floor to ceiling height, there's nothing to prevent or indeed, you know, officers would be very encouraging of that outcome.
I've pretty much had representation from applicants that they want to provide the floor to ceiling of 3 metres because obviously they can then deliver a better product. For me, it's more about ensuring we get proper amenity for the people living there. And then you get better solar access into those, generally those apartments. I was watching a show actually on the weekend, which was a real estate show, which showed units that had floor to ceiling windows, window doors or windows, and they were quite high, and the sunlight that was penetrating those rooms was excellent. So is that at least something we could consider in, I mean, it would be a merit-based assessment, I guess, but I would think if we're trying to move standards for design, we should be trying to move standards for some of the amenities as well of those apartments. Mm. So is that something that council would, or is that something we would need to possibly move a motion or something we request via a council at a future meeting that could be considered in the LEP or the DT?
Oh, look, I think it can certainly be something that we consider. As I say, there's nothing to prevent an applicant lodging an application with those increased floor to ceiling heights now.
Okay, that's good. And just quickly, my other question is why should it be a consideration? I know we talk about viability of projects, but at the end of the day, we shouldn't be having a viability of a project determining the amenity of the actual product. But I think the council should be sending a clear stance that these are the standards we want. So if you want to build here, this is what you've got to expect to build.
Mr. Mayor, if I may jump in, maybe it is an ambitious call. I think maybe Dylan will take it on board as obviously as part of the considerations for the comprehensive one. This is probably just as a safeguard. This provision is included in this round, a safeguard for the minimum. And then if we want to go for something slightly more ambitious, we'll maybe take it on as part of the comprehensive one.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, sorry, just an additional comment. Carla Castellanos here. And in response to Mr. Councillor Fernie Cook, she asked, about 50%. The clarification I want to make is that already SEP 65 and the apartment design guide allowed 30% of units not to receive solar access because the minimum is 70%. So she's correct, but if she reads carefully, the control that we're writing is that if any given level has more than 50% of the units in that level not meet the 2 hours, it will immediately trigger this control. So that is the clarification I wanted to offer, because 30% could be concentrated on the lower level. So what we're saying is that is okay, but in Burwood Council, if that happens and more than 50% of the units on that level already don't receive solar access, you gotta give us better floor to ceiling heights. Thank you.
Okay. So my follow-on question to that is, so the introduction of this change to the DCP is to address non-compliance, possibly in an application, to help it comply. Is that correct?
Not entirely, Mayor, because the proposal at 70% solar access will be compliant. This is above and beyond SEP 65 and the apartment design guide to ensure better amenity for our future buildings.
So what would your view be on the floor to ceiling heights of 3 meters across the actual whole development?
May I say that at the moment, as Mr. Porter said, there is no restriction for any building to have higher floor to ceiling height because the SEP 65 control is a minimum. The only reason why they're not coming forward perhaps is because we do have maximum height controls and developers attempt to put as many floors as possible under that height and they adhere to the minimum. So if they wanted to break that control, as Mr. Porter said, I don't think that any of the officers or assessment officers would be adverse to better amenity despite a breach of the overall height control.
But I would have thought, so my question, following question to that is, I would have thought the predominant control is the floor space, because we've seen a number of applications that the panel has approved, for example, on Victoria Street and the Uniting Church on Burwood Road, which actually breached the height, but were deemed, except while they didn't breach the floor space, they breached the height because they provided a better design outcome. So I would have thought, considering there's precedence in breaching height based on design, why couldn't it be design and amenity?
I'm not sure if there's a question there or we're just stating.
My question is, I mean, you made the comment that it could breach the height. I mean, is that the predominant concern, or is the concern that the developer will try to squeeze more units in once they get that predetermined height? Is that what you're concerned about?
No, I am not concerned about. And just to reflect on your comment, Mr. Mayor, there is already a precedent of many buildings or many proposals in the town center core breaching the height control, because we have a bonus provision that allows them to gain 10%. So the height as a precedent already exists. The only concern here, as I said before, is that the bonus is an attempt to gain additional floor space above the height. And if they already surpass the height by the additional floor to ceiling height, they might be not complying with the 10%. But if council is willing to relax that control, you are correct that the overriding control is the FSR.
Do you believe personally, or in your professional opinion, that it has merit to have those floor to ceiling heights across the building, like to provide better amenity, because we're creating vertical communities?
From a personal point of view, yes, I agree with you that a higher floor to ceiling height will give additional amenity in terms of solar penetration deep into areas into the building, additional views in direct light, and general greater amenity in terms of spatial and sense of enclosure within the units. Absolutely. But in bearing in mind that additional floor to ceiling height leads to additional construction cost, greater number of stairs and risers to reach from one level to the other, greater level of risers and conduits. So it all adds up. And then there's probably going to be a cost versus construction, you know, gain versus construction cost ratio that needs to be considered.
But that's for the developer to consider. I mean, we need to lead in setting a standard to provide, to push them to create a really good product.
I do not disagree.
And I am sure, I mean, if you look at the market, I am sure if you were marketing in the same street unit that had a floor to ceiling height of 3 meters and one that had a floor to ceiling height of, what is it, 2.7?
That is the minimum, yes.
I think the 3 meter one would probably more likely be demanding a bit more money, so they would recoup that on their sale price, because it would be worth more.
I could not offer any contrary point of view, as I am not across real estate values per cubic meter. So, but a reasonable argument could be said that greater amenity will lead to better selling costs, but it is outside of my expertise to say that.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor and Callum, this feels like a perfect subject and topic for a workshop. And maybe we can run once we start tackling the comprehensive one. Yes. Unless if you feel strongly about it, we could add a recommendation, an additional resolution at the end to just call out that the council is asking us to conduct further investigation into that particular topic.
I wouldn't mind a further investigation, because if the only concern is the cost to the developer. So I wouldn't mind a bit of an analysis being done, and possibly, whether it comes back before the comprehensive LEP or gets looked at the time of the LEP. I've got no issue, but I think the sooner we can put those type of controls in, the better we can get better unit designs in our town centre. But anyway, I'll leave it there. I might suggest an addition that council further investigates. So if there is a mover for the recommendation that I add that council further investigates the possibility of having floor-to-ceiling heights of 3 metres across an entire development in the Bellwood Town Centre zone.
And could we also add and investigate communication towers on buildings and landscaping provisions? And then I'm happy to move it.
Okay, so there's an amendment which is part six, council further investigates the possibility of having floor-to-ceiling heights of 3 metres across an entire development within the Bellwood, a proposed development, proposed development within the Bellwood Town Centre, and council further investigates, was it the treatment?
Sorry.
That's Councillor Fernow Cook.
Sorry, the dog's barking.
So that was...
Dylan knows what it was.
Okay, council further investigates the treatment of communication towers as well as landscape requirements during the...
It's under landscape requirements for higher density, medium and higher density developments.
Mr. Mayor...
It's landscaping provisions is what it was. It was...
Mr. Mayor, can I just clarify that both of those items would be dealt with as part of the comprehensive DCP review?
Yep.
Thank you.
So council further investigates, as let's add in there then, as part of the comprehensive DCP review. So council further investigates as part of the comprehensive DCP, in part seven.
I think it probably applies to both. Six and seven.
Review, yep. Okay. The other one, part six, no, I want to leave that out because if they end up doing an analysis beforehand and they believe they can apply it to applications beforehand, then why not? But it might be done as part of the DCP review, so I'm not putting a time frame on it. So it's been moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor...
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there is one query I have.
Yes. Councillor Dixon.
With respect to the Stratfield Cooper Street precincts, I just have a question that what is the principal stand of the council? I know it's in the local environmental court. The issue is. With respect to that precinct and with respect to the two developments which people are writing, to us.
Yep. Mr. Porter, did you want to reply to that? So the part that you've added with regards to Cooper Street?
So ultimately, the DCP provisions we made in relation to the Cooper Street precinct are really just to enforce the appropriate built form architecture and setback controls within that precinct, and also additional provisions that respect the heritage conservation area status of that precinct, and also heritage listed buildings within that precinct. So our focus of those DCP amendments is to promote provide clear guidance on the design outcomes that would be acceptable to council. We haven't made any amendments or comment that really relate to the specifics of the use in those precincts. So I guess in relation to those two applications, we have an application for a residential flat building and a boarding house. Those are provisions that currently exist within the LEP and were part of the applicant-led planning proposal for that precinct, which was successful through appeal. We're not seeking to challenge the nature of uses, really just to enforce design outcomes for that precinct.
That was moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. Councillor Fernow Cook, did you wish to speak? Councillor Manor, any speakers against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. So that was all. Councillors, is that correct? Yep.
Yes, just thanks staff for all their good work. And I'm just going to leave the meeting and I'll ask if you can, someone can text me when I'll come back in.
Yep, we will, I think the administrator I think Tanya.
I can text the councillor.
Yep. All right. So the next item is 50/21. Do I have any questions? Being moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Prime. Is that you? Yep. Okay. So speakers against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried also unanimously. Without Councillor Fernocook being present, if we can get Councillor Fernocook back on.
Yeah, I've texted her.
So item 51/21, which is 17 Ethel Street. I might just ask while we're getting Councillor Fernocook back on, Mr. Porter, the issues that Will raised, who spoke on the item, which had the items that were agreed upon not to be included as heritage items. What's council's view on that? And what's council, while they are included in the, I guess in the report, is them being notified that or being addressed in the report as not being original, allow them to change them to original items in the future? Mr. Porter.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I mean,
I'm just going to get Mr. Porter to answer that question.
Oh, okay, because that's exactly what, sorry, I came in late. They were my questions, yeah.
Mr. Porter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm certainly aware that the applicant has raised the issue of some non-original items within the building. And I guess there's a few considerations in all of that as to, well, just because an item isn't non-original doesn't mean it doesn't contribute to the particular heritage character or the heritage value of a particular property. It may well just reflect a particular evolution of ownership or alterations to the property over time. So I think the view was taken that really for the purposes of what we're doing now, which is to have the item listed as a locally listed heritage item, we would rely upon the report and information that we've gathered to date. If the applicant wants to come forward with a development application for the refurbishment or indeed alteration to that property, and they have detailed information and their own heritage assessment to support those amendments, that we could defer the consideration of those particular features around heritage fireplaces or whether or not they're heritage to a full and detailed assessment of the alterations to the property at that time, rather than want to prejudge or make any early judgment on the merits of any particular features now.
Okay. So, but what I'm asking is, in generally, if you've got a marble or a marble fireplace that's not original, for example, it might be a timber fireplace or an iron fireplace, generally council would take that into consideration, but obviously the applicant would need, it's best to probably come and sit with our planners and our heritage advisor and go through that. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, that's absolutely right. And I think there was also a suggestion that some of the fireplaces in the upper floor of the building are timber and maybe less ornate or less grand than maybe some of the marble fireplaces within the building. They are original items, and there is a suggestion that they would want to be removed and upgraded to a marble fireplace. Again, those kind of detailed considerations really should be left to a determination through a development application rather than what we're dealing with now, which is the listing of a heritage item.
Yes, I understood.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, can I ask just a clarification? Because in the report, it actually says that I've seen pictures of them, and those fireplaces are ones that you just buy from restorations. You know, they're pretend ones, and you chuck them on and you paint them, which is fine. But the report actually says that they probably aren't original. So I can well imagine why and the gazebo too. So I can well imagine why the owner is saying, why are these ones put in when they're not. I mean, they've got marble floor, which is clearly not original, and yet that's, you know, that's, you know, not mentioned. So I don't want us to heritage these things, which of course I would support, but not have the owner be in a bind that they can't remove things that, or you know, put back things that are clearly add-ons. That's my dilemma. So, Dylan, you're saying that they have to go through a DA process if they want to change a fireplace that is already not original.
That's correct. So if it's an alteration to the building, they would have to be either providing us with information or something to determine whether it's original fabric or original part of the building. But in most cases, we would be asking for a development application for a substantial alteration, such as removing a fireplace. And look, again, I think it's worth just considering that, alterations take place to a building over, you know, 140 years in this particular instance. Alterations could have taken place in the 1940s, 1950s, which contribute to the general evolution and I guess history of that building. So again, whilst it might not be original heritage, original fabric when the building was originally constructed, it might still have a contributory item to the general history of that building.
Can I just ask, in relation to that, why is the process changed? I mean, usually when you're doing works internally, if they're if they contribute to the actual heritage item, in the past, an applicant just advises and has a discussion via email with the heritage advisor. If the works are usually, they show them the works, usually it happens without a DA if you're not doing any structural. Mm. I remember, for example, when I did my home, which is a heritage listed home, I spoke to our heritage advisor at the time. So I was, without a DA, was able to change the tiles to restore the tessellated tiles and rip out the old vinyl and carpet that was in the house. I was able to take off the, for example, the wallpaper. I was able to refurbish the bathrooms in the kitchen without a DA.
Yeah.
And on a normal home, you don't require a DA. So why is this? It's not a state listed. We're not asking for a state listing. And I was able to paint the house from outside as long as I provided a colour scheme which was approved by our heritage consultant. Why now do you have to, is it becoming more cumbersome to lodge a DA to rip out a fireplace and put an original one in? I don't understand.
Well, again, if I can respond to that, Mr. Mayor, it really does come down to the circumstances of what you're changing. If you're removing sort of obvious vinyl that is a very clearly non-original fabric, then we can make those types of judgments quite quickly. But if there are more extensive alterations to a building or something that needs further investigation, we just have to be careful about what we're permitting there. But, you know, if it's clearly non-original, that's not something we'd be asking for a development application for.
Oh, and I know, and this is really important because, you know, we're deciding whether we list a heritage item, and if we're going to ask the owner to, who's accepting the listing of the heritage, they're happy to list it as a heritage item, but if we're then saying that if you want to rip out the doors and put, you know, period doors or change your kitchen or retile your bathroom and put the old English tiles in there and take out the marble, that you've got to lodge a DA, then that becomes very cumbersome, because with heritage items, you not only have to then get an architect, you have to get a town planner, then you have to get a heritage consultant to give you a heritage report, which costs thousands of dollars to actually renovate your bathroom. That's where I'm a bit concerned myself. So,
Mr. Mayor, may I offer just one clarification for your point and Councillor Fernie Cook's point? The discrepancy here is that Heritage 21, who is the heritage consultant for the applicant, has deemed all fireplaces to be non-original, whereas our heritage advisor has clearly disagreed with two of the fireplaces. While the fireplaces downstairs are a replacement with faux marble, and there's agreement there, the two fireplaces on the upper story are original, are Edwardian, and should not be replaced, removal, alter, because they are original fabric to the building. There lays the discrepancy in that we are not asking the applicant to retain items that are non-original. We're only asking the applicant to retain items that are original and add value to the building. Those that are downstairs, which are four marble fireplaces, they can be replaced and altered and made to have a different look because they do not have significance to the building. It is only the two upstairs that are of concern.
Carla, so my question is, and before we move on to other questions, if there is any, so if the full non-original, so I accept the two that are original upstairs that you want to heritage list, fair enough. So the four that are unoriginal, do they need to lodge a DA if that they were to replace those with something more original?
Mr. Mayor, for alterations like that, the applicant, and this is within the legislation, can apply for a minor works approval or a project, request for a minor works. And things like that that you were describing, like change of vinyl or change of paint, or a replacement of an item that is of no significance, can be done with a minor works application. And that is already, the information is on our website and can be accessed by any applicant. And we're more than happy to provide it online if anybody requests the information.
Okay. All right. I think that sort of answers. Did you have any further questions, Councillor? My only concern was, sorry, that Mr. Porter mentioned that we'd have to lodge a DA, which sort of confused me a bit, that's all. Did you have any further questions, Councillor Ferner-Cook? Any other questions? Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Ferner-Cook, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Councillor Manor, sorry. Speakers? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now I'm just going to move a procedural motion in light of the extension of the council elections, which extends the current council term until the 4th of December. I will suggest that we have a procedural motion for 52/21, which is on the agenda, the end of term report, not be considered at this meeting, because obviously it would need to be updated. So it's been moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Crichton. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, that was declared unanimously. Any questions regarding 53/21, which is the delivery program?
No.
Councillor, yeah. Did you have a question?
I was just laughing at the end of term report because there was only one picture of all the councillors except the mayor. Oh, no, that's not you, the mayor. I know you weren't, John, you weren't.
I didn't do the report.
The thing, but.
I hadn't even seen it. I just saw the message. Anyway.
10-1.
It's been moved by, in saying that, I think the mayor usually attends more things 10-1, so that's probably why this probably...
Oh, no, there's things that, yeah. It was just amusing, that was all.
Next item is item 53/21, which was moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by... Was that by you, Councillor Ferner-Cook?
Yep.
Any speakers for? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour, declare that carried... Unanimously, proposed expansion of the shopfront improvement program. I will quickly declare a pecuniary interest, and I might remove myself actually because I think this mentions the Strand. I just realised that, which could be eligible for it in the future. So I'll declare a pecuniary interest for item 54/21, which is the proposed expansion of the Shopfront Improvement Program, as I own a commercial property in Australian Croydon. So I might hand over to the Deputy Mayor to deal with this item. I might put myself
on... And Mr. Mayor, in my case too, the same thing applies.
And I'm just wondering, I do own 183 Bird Road, and I'm not sure whether that is part of the program as well.
Does it have a shop front, Councillor Chen?
Or it has a shop front.
With signage at the front and everything?
With signage on the front, yes.
Are we going to have quorum? Yeah. No, I'm not sure, actually.
No, we won't have quorum if we knock the three of us out.
No, well, Heather and I can take over. It's all right.
No, I don't mind you taking over. It's just that we don't have a quorum. Unless it's a less than significant Tommaso, because it applies to all town centres, but technically it could mean we could apply for the Shopfront Improvement Program as property owners. Or is it the property owner, or is it the shop owner?
Unless I could see clarifications, but unless we have any particular provisions in the policy that does not allow councillors or staff of council to apply.
No, yeah. If through you, Mr. Mayor.
What I'm going to do, I've just thought of something. We're going to take the Strand out, right? Let's defer the item. You can bring it back. You can split it. So you could take Billwood Road out of one, which will knock out Councillor Furneaux Cook and keep us with a quorum. And then you can take the Strand out of the other one.
Councillor Chen. Yeah.
But then come in back in. And so can we do that with this report, or would we need to defer it? And
Brooke, you might want to step in.
Sure.
Are they clearly defined in the report that we could split it or not?
So the actual proposal is to stage the implementation of the program to cover the entirety of the Burwood LGA over the next 3 years. So the actual policy contains with it the staging of that program. So there would be implications in splitting it, because it's actually within the policy to roll it out in a staged manner.
No, I mean splitting the actual rollout of the policy. I mean splitting the decision making.
Yeah.
So one recommendation would be approve the expansion of eligible locations for the Shopfront Improvement Program beyond the Burwood Town Centre to include local centres of Enfield, Croydon Park and Stratfield, which Councillor Chan would declare an interest, and Croydon would be left out. And then next council meeting, you can bring one up which just includes Croydon, and then Councillor Dixit and myself will withdraw, and you could have a quorum for that.
Yeah, so an alternate way to proceed for tonight, and the most urgent matter would be the implementation of the program in this current financial year. So what I'd suggest is, if it enabled councillors to vote, is that we simply proceed with the implementation of the program in 2021-22. The two locations nominated for this financial year are the Burwood Town Centre and Enfield Local Centre. And if we just move to implement for this financial year, it enables us to move on with the implementation of the program in those two areas, and probably provides sufficient numbers to maintain quorum.
Okay. So how about we leave it as is, and we just take out Croydon from the recommendation, which will then, you can just bring a, I'll make it simple. Let's do Burwood Town Centre and Enfield. So I'm just going to move a procedural motion that we change the recommendation, just because otherwise technically we would still have to declare an interest because we're changing the recommendation. So councillor's happy with that. Is that the right way, Tommaso?
I would recommend the modification amendment of the recommendation number one. I think two and three are still okay.
Yeah, I understand that, Tommaso. The issue is if we actually get into the item and change the recommendation, we're then technically still voting because we've taken it out. So we're still technically, by law, have a pecuniary interest. So I'm thinking if we did it via a procedural motion where we actually change the recommendation and then present the report with the new recommendation, if that gets endorsed, then we can still decide on it and Councillor Chang can move, abstain himself from the vote or remove himself from the vote. Would that work, Tanya? Or do we only, or can only the council officer change the recommendation in the report?
No, Mr. Mayor, you can completely ignore everything that's put forward by the officer. Is at issue is he, what are you currently considering? I'm not clear on who's moving and seconding anything. The mover and the seconder need to determine what is being put forward for the council to consider.
I know that. I'm just trying to move forward with the item because technically if we get into the item, we're then a part of the decision-making process, which technically triggers our pecuniary interest. Even though we take Croydon out, it's you've got to remember that pecuniary interest provisions talk about a positive or a profit or a loss. So technically that could be classified that we've now determined a loss because we're not eligible. So it triggers a pecuniary interest for me. So maybe we defer it at this stage. The report.
Well, I can also always move it with those who are able to do it. And then that as a procedural item that we consider item 54/21 in two parts. The first part covering retail areas excluding the Strand at Croydon. And I'll move that, and then you guys can go. Then you guys can say.
Yes, I think that's the way to go. Is there any objection to that, Tanya?
Who is seconding that?
So that'll be seconded by Councillor Manor.
Okay.
There's a procedural motion for item 54/21, which is the proposed expansion of the shopfront improvement program. The recommendation by the officer be split into two. The first being the exclusion of
all areas in the retail covered in the program, excluding the Strand at Croydon.
Yes. So that's been moved by Councillor Fiona Cook, seconded by Councillor.
Well, actually, you shouldn't do that. Oh, procedural, you can still.
Procedural. So it's seconded by Councillor Manor. I put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried. Now, Councillor Chan had declared an interest, a pecuniary interest, because he owns a shop at
183E Burwood Road.
So did you get that, Tanya? So Councillor Chan will remove himself from the item now because we are in the item.
I'm disappearing.
We will put you in the waiting room. Don't disconnect. Michelle will put you in the waiting room. Okay.
And Michelle, I might just get you to take Croydon out of that recommendation in part one, just after Enfield. Yeah. Okay. So now we're on the item.
Checking that there's no other mentions around the report.
If I can just also add that we need to modify point two. It adopts the minor amendment. The minor amendment actually refers to the Strand. So we need to just put that exclusion of the Strand. So point two adopts the minor amendment included in the revised shopfront improvement policy with the exception of the Strand.
The Strand, Croydon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yes.
Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could I just ask what the budget is for this program? And is there a breakdown? I'm really curious to see how much Enfield Town Centre will receive. Thank you.
Brooke, did you want to?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, the allocated budget this financial year is $50,000. So $50,000 would be made available to Burwood Town Centre and Enfield Local Centre. Now, that's also the split of that is dependent upon the number of applications we receive and the assessment of those applications. Just by way of comparison, last financial year there was a total of $25,000 available to the Burwood Town Centre only. So on that basis, we would assume that, you know, 25 for Enfield, 25,000 for Burwood Town Centre, but it will be dependent upon the businesses that actually apply. The maximum amount that the businesses can apply for is $3,000.
And just a follow-on question, if I may ask, just with the allocation last year, from memory, was all those funds exhausted?
It was slightly less. So it was just $22,000 out of the $25,000. There were 8 shops that have successfully completed their projects and been awarded funding.
Thank you. That's all. Thanks.
Any other questions? Do I have a mover for the recommendations? It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Any speakers? For? Against? The motion, all those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now, I believe Councillor Chan will come back in, chair the meeting, and Councillor Raj and myself will be held in the waiting bay. And then it'll be the same motion, but this time just have Croydon. Is that correct, Brooke?
Yes, that's correct. So this one would have to specifically only relate to Croydon, the Strand, because Burwood Town Centre is proposed for implementation every single year. So we'll just have to be very specific in terms of recommending that the Strand be prioritised in the year 2022-23 as per the proposed program.
Yeah. And can I just clarify, when we say it, the Strand...
Let us go.
Okay, sure.
Just before we do go, I think we should have, it's got to have an item number. So you either push all the other item numbers down or you would have an item 53A/21.
I'll move it as a procedural motion. As
53. And I'm still there, so...
I don't think you can move that, can you, that is to consider the Croydon one? That was all. Can you consider it or could... Ernest put up to consider it as a procedural motion.
I can put it up as a procedural motion. I mean, if that makes it less complicated.
Daniel, Michelle, would you be able to use the similar word into the one we used previously so that Councillor Chen can follow that?
If we just make a note in that first one that the council approves the expansion of eligible locations for the shopfront beyond the Burwood Town Centre to include the local centre of the Strand, Croydon, in 2022/23.
Through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, can I just ask, when we say the Strand, do we also include those set of shops that are across the way, across Meter Street near PLC? Is that the understanding of the Strand, so that they are included?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, yes, that's correct. They would be encompassed within that.
Well, I'm happy to second it. If it's so,
Tania, Michelle, just make sure we've got it. So we're saying the procedural motions being moved by Councillor Chen with the wording similar to the one we had before. And seconded by Councillor Fermacourt. Is that right?
I'm not sure that I have this right. So we're dealing with the procedural motion. We've already had that one that it's split in two. So is it this recommendation that's part of the motion? Is that?
Tania, any views from your end or Fab? So we suggested in the previous one that there is a separate report. Is that what we're creating here? Is this what we're considering right now? Just checking to sanity check.
As I was explaining before, it is just simply a matter of the councillors proposing a motion and the motion getting a seconder, and then that is clear what is up for debate. There is no obligation to accept the officer's recommendation. That can be completely set aside and replaced with something different. The key is here that you are clear about the intent that you are trying to convey in the motion.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Look, I think that's pretty well what we have. And the only thing is that we haven't got the question through you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, to probably the General Manager, was should it have a B to it, so it will be recognised in the papers. That's really where we're at, and then I think we can vote on it.
So that it's clearly identified as a separate report or item, sorry.
Yeah.
Would that be okay, Tania and Michelle, from your point of view?
Let me try to put a new item in there if I can.
You got a new item there. Is that all the following items have to be renumbered as well?
It's not letting me put it in. I think I can put in manually that GB 421.
Through you, Madam Chair, if I may, don't worry too much about the finessing of the numbering. A minute taker can fix that up later. We have automated tools within the software that will help us tidy that up. The main thing is that we're clear about the wording, that it is there and that we have got a move and a seconder. And then that is clearly understood before further debate occurs and a decision is made.
Now that we do have a move and a seconder, if the numbering is not so critical, can we put a vote and have a vote on that one?
Can I just check that this highlighted one is what you're voting on? Is that?
Yep.
Yes, that's
yes. Correct. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
So do you want to put the motion now, Ernest?
Yes, yes, we can. I put the motion now and we can see who is voting against it. Four, everybody sign. We got a unanimous decision, approval. So I guess we can get the mayor back in and we can continue on to the next item.
All right, I'll just let them in.
Hang on, I think I'm back. Thanks, Hope. Am I back, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay, I can't see the screen.
We can see you.
You can see me. Let me see. Well, I can't see everybody.
I've just made you co-host again and I've got you back.
No, I can't see for some reason. Just bear with me, councillors, sorry. Okay, there we go. So are we on item 55/21 now?
Yes.
Racism not welcome campaign recommendations from the multi.
May I move as recommended?
No, we do have questions.
I just have one clarification question, or two things, I suppose. One, on the page 699, it says the annual budget of $5,000, which could be used to support the rollout. I don't think anything that's fund the annual budget is for the MAC. I don't think the MAC should, if whatever they decide into the future, they don't have to fund council policies. I mean, that's part of, they're an advisory group. That's just their budget to run the committee. It's not to fund
understood. Programs.
Question. So I just wanted a clarification that's not seen as a future intent, that what the MAC recommends, whether it's this or something else down the track, they can fund it themselves. That's the first question.
Okay.
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. Just in response to that, each of the committees, it's very similar with the 150 years anniversary committee as well. They both have $5,000 allocated to the operation of the committee, and that also supports various initiatives that come out of those committees. So if I can give the example of their There's No Racism in Burwood campaign, the budget of the MAC was utilised to promote, to produce that video, which was a project of the MAC. So it's very much in keeping as well with the approach we've taken with the 150 years anniversary committee, where the budget of the committee has been used to design some of the initial branding and logo for the group. So the expenditure that the committee has in place is often very low. So we don't pay our committee members to attend meetings. They are there in a voluntary capacity. Yes, sometimes catering and those sorts of things are provided to support the work of the committee, but the funds are also utilised to implement different initiatives aligned with those committees as well.
Okay, any further questions?
Yeah. Just through you, just on that though, the steering committee is actually going to do some much, you know, grander things through the good work of its chair. And there's no way that the committee, I don't want a committees to be, whatever committee it is, to not take something up because they think that they have to pay for it itself. They're an advisory committee. It's up to us to decide whether, you know, once we crunch the numbers, we want to take up any of their suggestions. But the other one is that on point two, and I defer to the chair of this particular committee, Ernest Chan, and yeah. It's so important because this will be obviously his legacy to... but Ernest, it will be. It will be a legacy moment.
Councillors,
question is number two.
Councillors.
So what what are the alternative methods for you, Mr. Mayor?
Councillors, can I just before hand over to Councillor Chan, I just want to keep to questions and then we can speak on items during items, just to follow a bit of process because it's a bit difficult, especially via a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, fair enough.
So just before due respect, let's just try to stick to questions and myself included, because I fall into it sometimes. And then we'll get into maybe debating or supporting or changing recommendations or how we feel about the item in the actual debate of the item. So the question, Councillor Furneaux-Cook, was put to Councillor Chan.
Was what are the alternate methods that the MAC thought would be relevant? I'm happy with whatever decision you have, but I just wanted to know what sort of alternate methods you were thinking of.
Well, the first one would be utilizing the electronic panel that we got at the corner of Burwood Road and Burwood Parade. I think we got a panel there, and if we got messages in terms of electronic messages or e-messages, it would be quite a cost-effective way of promoting this idea, racism not welcome in the area. I spoke to the mayor and also, I guess, Brooke at the MEG meeting, the MAC meeting before, is that maybe using some murals or maybe banners in strategic areas of the council, community hubs, like just outside the library or whatever, that could be a good way of promoting as well, where people are coming and going all the time. So I guess the council do have other sort of ongoing publications, stuff that are going out, and maybe the message could be included in those weekly or daily or whatever messages that is going out. So I guess Brooke and the general manager would probably take it further and see what happened after that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Dixon.
Just a question. With respect to our council local government area, is there any data which supports this idea that there is an element of racism here?
Brooke, did you want to reply to that?
Or any incidences which has been reported or documented?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, there's a number of incidences that have been reported to council. So there's been incidences, particularly on the onset of the COVID pandemic last year. And that was the reason why council itself adopted an anti-racism statement. It was due to reports from the community in relation to overt racism that was occurring, particularly targeting members of community members of Chinese backgrounds at the onset of COVID. So further to that, there have been a number of ongoing reports, some of which I understand that our councillors have also received directly from community members. Members of the MAC have also received those reports, and through our consultation with the police. We don't have specific data on the number of reports that have been made, but because of the number and level of reports that council's been made aware of, we've put additional information on our website and also pointed residents to how they can effectively report incidences of overt racism and how to do so directly to the police as well. So whilst it don't have specific numbers, it is something that has continued to occur time and time again since, in particular, March 2020.
Okay. Any other questions? Do I have a mover? Can I suggest? Can I suggest that we get the chairman can move and seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, considering she.
Yeah, I move that.
Or either.
Move that, and maybe Leslie can second that.
Okay. Yeah. I think, in fairness, because it was Councillor Furneaux-Cook's motion.
In that case, reverse the order. I'm happy with that as well.
You wish to speak, Councillor Chan?
That's okay.
Councillor Furneaux-Cook, can I just quickly speak in favour of the motion? I think It's a great campaign. Can I just outline that? I think our council, while this is a campaign, and I've been reading a bit of media on it in recent weeks with other councils, while this campaign is sort of new, it's actually not new to our council, because I know that our council and Brooks area and across the actual whole council, that we've been running a number of programs to support our diverse community and the fact that we don't tolerate racism in our area. In saying that, I think messaging now has come so far advanced that rather than having, like, one of the things, and I'm glad that staff have recognised this, and to Brooke and her team, that it shouldn't just be about a statement on a signpost. It should be possibly more than that, whether it, you know, it be messaging, which environmentally I think is better as well, but messaging like on the big screen on Railway Square, whether it be run through, for example, you know, during Multicultural Week, maybe we run on the bottom of our letters, you know, in italics, a message like, you know, a quote like, you know, racism is not welcoming, you know, in our community, whether we run it in games that we have in our mobile play vans, for example, because you've got a number of diverse young kids. So I think, you know, and just things like that, whether we run it in our newsletters as it comes. So the more we run it, I don't think it should just be a one-stop type of, you know, you put a sign up on a telegraph pole like you see it in the West, for example, that has nuclear free zone. Well, you know, great. You know, I mean, I think, and you see a lot of residents have comments. So I actually commend, and I hope that as the campaign rolls out, or whether it's on murals, like I know we've just got some funding for some major artworks, whether we include that type of messaging in those public art works, I think that provides more recognition and notice for these type of issues. Any speakers against? Write a reply, Councillor Chan. Put the motion. All those in favour? No. Those against, I just say that carried unanimously. Next item is 56/21. Any questions? Been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Could I just ask through you, does that work still with the elections? And because you're going to have that meeting 3 weeks after the election. So that still works through you, Mr. Mayor.
Tomasa?
Yes, Councillor, through Mr. Mayor. We're still working out the requirements for us to hold the first meeting. Not entirely sure whether the 3 weeks apply to us, having a popularly elected mayor. Having said that, it would be very unlikely that we would agree to having anything in that particular window of time, because I think most of our staff and probably the elected councillors might disagree with that. We will identify a solution for the swearing in. We're also looking at alternatives in the event that we are still in lockdown by that point in time. And we'll brief you in the next few days.
So it's been, any other questions? It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. 57/21. Questions? Moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Speakers for? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. There's reports there, RC21, RC6, sorry, RC521, RC621, which are to the reports of the committee to be received and noted, I believe. So RC521, being moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers for, against, I put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Item RC6/21.
Sorry, could I ask a question through you, Mr. Mayor, just a quick one, just regarding the one on, you know, for the spring event, when are we going to make the call? So it's the 26th of September, I think, or whenever it is on the Saturday. I think that's the Burwood Festival. Just through you, when do we need to make that call?
Yeah. I think, Tommaso, I think the GM and I will have to talk about that with staff and obviously see what their advice is. I would fathom to say it. I find it difficult to see that it could proceed in the current climate. Even if lockdowns were lifted, there would still be a level of restrictions. So can we take that one on notice? And that's something that we would have to consult with the other.
You would have seen, if I may, Mr. Mayor, just you would have seen our decision initially was to split the festival into multiple smaller events to mitigate the risk and spread the risk. And we'll have to make an assessment as we come closer to each day and then communicate with the community and yourselves.
Yeah, I think we might have to sort of have a bit of a roundtable Zoom meeting and work out early whether we waste, you know, staff time on and energies on those events. Like, for example, we've pretty much decided we can't proceed with any form of a Zendakan service other than laying a wreath. But so anyway, I think I'll speak to the GM and we'll take it from there and update the councillors. So the RC621, was that moved by Councillor Manor and Ferno Cook? Was that correct? Or have I... Any speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 1621, 1721, 1821 are just information items. I've got a motion by Councillor Cryant to go into closed session. It's been seconded by Councillor Chan. I'll put the motion. All those in favour. Those against. Declare that carried. Can I ask that Patricia, I think, could stay. I think the GM has to leave.
Patricia will be the only staff member present. Michelle will put all the rest of us into the waiting room.
I don't have them on the shared screen, but I believe you have them, Patricia.
Yes, and so does Michelle. They're, as was documented, Michelle.
Yeah, okay, nothing's changed. Good.
No, thank you.
So there being no further business, sorry, I should probably just add before we close the meeting, congratulate the General Manager for his performance. Council unanimously endorsed the performance and I recognise the support that you actually receive also from the directors. And the team environment you've created, and council is very comfortable with the progress that's being made, but the direction of the council, especially from an admin level as well as a director and GM level, and council also adopted the report to renew your contract, I believe it was for 4 years, Patricia?
That is correct, Mr. Mayor.
So congratulations to the General Manager, and also thank you to the councillors and to Councillor Ferno Cook and Councillor Chan, the Deputy Mayor, for attending the review committee and working through that together. And to also thank the staff for their over. I think we all recognise the overall support we could see that the GM and the director team received, which makes it for a great organisation to be a part of. Tommaso, did you want to add something quickly before we go?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and all of the councillors, and particularly the councillors involved in my performance review panel. It's been a pleasure reporting on the last 12 months. It's been a hell of a ride. I'd like to thank my team. They're great. For their support and for putting up with me. And obviously the mayor and all of you councillors for your guidance and support. So I look forward to more transformation, more improvements in the next few years. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, councillors. And I declare the meeting closed at 7:40 p.m.